Hey, be shalach pari yisom. V'lenocha malikim derech eretz pelishtim ki kolivu. Ki omra Hashem pen yinoch imom b'roisa melchama v'shovu mitzrayma. So many of the mafoshim have struggled to understand this first part of the parsha. First and foremost, this is Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. So l'chayre, there should be a tremendous joy. Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. So why does the parsha introduce itself b'loshen tzar? Vayihi is a loshen tzar. Right? Whenever it says vayihi, it's a loshen tzar. Okay, so Chazal qualified that sometimes vayihi, without a bimei, it's machlekes in the medrash. If Vayihi alone is a Lashon Tzar, one mandam in the Medrash says that Vayihi Bimei is a Tzar. When it says Vayihi alone, could be it's not a Tzar. Definitely not a Lashon Simcha. And that's how the parasha begins with a Tzar. Which is strange. That's already strange. Why does Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim begin with a Tzar? Number two, the Torah doesn't have to give us any rationale why Hashem decided to send the Yidden the Derech HaMidbar. And if the Torah wouldn't give us any rationale, so we don't have to have any kashas. The Eibishter did it, whatever the cheshbon is. But here the Torah gives us rationale. And the rationale that the Torah gives us, it seems to be contradictory to what logic says. Hashem didn't take us through the desert, through the Midbar, because it's Kikorevu, through Plishtim. Because Hashem said, they may come back to Mitzrayim. So if the Eibishter takes us the longer way, the more complicated way, the more challenging way, so that just makes it more mistafle that they're going to turn around and come back. How many times did the Yidden Taka say? Every time they had a challenge in the Midbar, they said, let's go back to Mitzrayim. That itself needs clarification. Why in the world they would want to go back to Mitzrayim? But that's what they said, Lamaise. Every time there was a problem in the Midbar, they said, let's go back to Mitzrayim. So, what is the rationale here that the Pasuk tells us that Hashem Dafka took the longer route so that they shouldn't change their mind and decide to go back to Mitzrayim? When that L'chaira just feeds the problem. The longer the route, the more challenging, the more opportunities there are for somebody to say no. People give up on long journeys, they don't give up on short journeys. It's a long journey, you give up. So obviously, again, if the Torah wouldn't have told us this, I would say, Eibishter a cheshbon. The Torah is giving us a cheshbon. So then we have to understand the cheshbon. If the Torah is already telling us this is why, this is the rationale, then we have to understand what is the rationale. What's the pshat? Then starts the whole parasha Kriyas Yam Suf. Parit chases Klal Yisrael. That was also done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taking away the Bechira. V'omar Parit Livnei Yisrael Nevuchim Hem Boretz V'chizak the slave Parit. The Eibishter is made that I will strengthen Parit V'rodav Acharei Bnei Yisrael. He's going to run after them. And now starts another shlav of confrontation with the Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim chasing us, Shaila, what to do. Tayyudifu Mitzrayim Achareim. Mitzrayim chase us. Vayasigwesim Choynim Al Amidbo. Choynim Al Ayam. And of course, Klal Yisrael now turn to Moshe Rabbeinu when they say, Hamibli and Kvorim be Mitzrayim. Lekachton Olomus by Amidbo, the famous pasuk. There are not enough graves in Mitzrayim. He took us here to die. Very strange. Why did the Eibush to orchestrate this new challenge? We finally made it out of Mitzrayim. There were 10 makas. Genuk aduch gelept, right? We lived through enough in Mitzrayim. We finally had makas b'chayres in Yitzis Mitzrayim. Right? We already had halu avdei Hashem v'le avdei pali in Mitzrayim. Why now another, now a whole new challenge that was orchestrated by Rabbanu Shel Olam, b'dafka, this new challenge. And ultimately, this becomes part of Yitzis Mitzrayim. Because if you look at the Leil HaSeder, we don't finish the story by Yitzis Mitzrayim without talking about the Yom Suf. In fact, we end Magid with describing clearly what happened in the Yom. Three-way Machloikis Tanoim. And in that Machloikis Tanoim, in the three-way Machloikis Tanoim that we have over there that L'choladeus, that the Makis were much more on the Yam than they were in Mitzrayim. Much more. Multiplied many times over. The Makis that we had in Mitzrayim. By the Yam, it went more and more. Ultimately, it seems that there was a bigger Yitzias Mitzrayim by the Yam than there was in Mitzrayim. That's what it seems. There was a bigger Yitzias Mitzrayim on the Yam. Then you look at the Biza. The Biza's Mitzrayim. And in the Biza's Mitzrayim was a fraction of the Biza's Hayam. It was such a fraction. It was a fraction in quantity. It was a fraction of quality. It was not only that, it was a fraction in its actual, you know, qualification of bilus. It was borrowed. It was like a half-baked biza that we got in Mitzrayim. We didn't even get a real biza in Mitzrayim. Borrowed kalim. It was like a bazaar, a flea market. You're borrowing kalim. The neighbors, by choshech, we went in, we saw where their stuff is. We want your candelabra, we want this. It was like we were going garage shopping. By the Yam, we got the biza Hayam. Shouldn't have it been Moshe Kapoya? The main biza should have been when we left Mitzrayim. The Yam could have had some perks. What are you going to get already by the Yam? It was like a nest, a huge nest, that the Mitzrayim, when they came, for some reason, they took all their valuables with them. The Medrash brings down. It's by Hayom Rov Ayonos, the biza Mitzrayim. The Yam, it's a strange thing. When an army goes to chase, right, an enemy, you don't bring your valuables with you. But this was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all I'm trying to tell you is that everything is pointing in the same direction. That for some reason the Yitzis Mitzrayim was really taka half-baked. And it wasn't really completed. And it was first later, by the Kriyas Yom Suf, that something happened. And this was all needed. All the events that happened in this week's Parsha, in the beginning of the Parsha, leading to the Kriyas Yom Suf, was all needed as a form of Yitzhiya. And Taka, we qualified for Biza only here. And it could be that's why the whole Biza we got was here. And it could also very well be that that's why the biza that we got on Mitzrayim was borrowed. Because we weren't royal yet for biza. We weren't royal yet to receive real biza. We got loaned biza. Well, that's who says it was not can't return it. After Kriyas Yom Suf, we couldn't return it. But before Kriyas Yom Suf, perhaps, we're going to return it. Now, if we look at the whole Yitzhi of Mitzrayim, the way it was presented to Pare, was also as a temporary thing. Moshe comes to Pare, and he says, could we go out? Could we go out for 3 days? We'll travel for 3 days. And Pare bought into that. Right? So Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky's at Zatzal, Kedarke Bakodesh. Ish emes, titin emes liyakov. He says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu not tell him the truth? We're going out. We're leaving. Goodbye, Charlie. We're playing games with Pari. We're going away for a week, 3 days there. What are you playing games for? Say, we're going. Well, how do Elof Avdolos? Ben Atomi or Ben Ator, when the Secretary of State, Kerry, went to negotiate with the P5, when they made the negotiations with Iran, so they made such a deal with Iran that made no sense. Everybody says it made no sense. They made a 6-month deal with Iran. And all the Chachamim and even the Tipshim are questioning what was the deal. It's a negotiated deal. What was the deal? Iran still has the centrifuges. They don't have to dismantle any centrifuges, which is the main... That's everything, the centrifuges. That's what's enriching the uranium. So they can do that. They could continue to enrich at a lower level of refinement. The other facility that they have, which is actually developing the actual bomb, that also is continuing. There's no stop on that either. They don't have to dismantle that. And the sanctions are being lifted, part of the sanctions. Right? So, and Netanyahu got up and he's messing the deal. Netanyahu got up and he said, this is a horrible deal. Netanyahu was just saying what anybody in grade school would be able to say. He doesn't say, oh, Netanyahu, shh, don't be mefarsa. State Department sent messages to Netanyahu. You're ruining it. Don't be mefarsim the secret. That's not such a great deal. And Netanyahu's not so bashful. He gets up. This is a rotten deal. Yeah. So one of the excuses they're giving is they're saying, listen, we want to get the door opened. Negotiate. Once we have them at a table in 6 months, then we're going to make a real deal with them. That's going to be really, lahashmid laharigul abed. But let's get for 6 months, we should be talking. That's their svara. Okay. Now whether that svara is good or it's krum, or it's not relevant. It's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that svara makes sense if it's Secretary of State Kerry trying to handle with the Iranians. So you could try to say such a svara. Lahavdil Elof Avdolos, Moshe Rabbeinu, as a Shliach Hashem, doesn't have to negotiate with Pari. He tells him what Hashem wants. And if this is what Hashem wants, this is what's delivered. And if Hashem wants the Eden to go out of Mitzrayim, then Moshe should come into Pari and say, Pari, we're out of here. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants his people out. Out. This doesn't negotiate and get a deal, a half-baked deal, not even half-baked. No. A shtickel biza, not a biza, borrowed biza. That's not the way to. The Eibishter is kol yochel. The Eibishter is a kol yochel. And the Mitzrayim went through worse sanctions than the Iranians. The Mitzrayim's economy was even worse than the Iranians. They were up against the gun. And Moshe could have said, the Eibishter said, but Hashem didn't tell Moshe to do that. Hashem told Moshe to say, we're going away for a couple of days. We're going away for a week vacation. On that note, I have another kasha. Why was Pari so opposed to it? I mean, the way it reads the beginning of this parasha, Pari is surprised. They're not coming back. Sent spies. They went away for more than 3 days. He kept chasing after Bnei Yisrael. If Pari really thought that this was going to be a week, and that was the request, and he sent spies along to make sure, so why did he let his country go to disaster? So the people want a week vacation. Okay. You don't want to give them a week vacation, I understand you, man. But, seichel. So it's really a double-edged question. Question is, why does the Eibishter have to present it as a half-baked thing, not even half-baked, as a vacation for a week? And why does Paray so opposed to it? Let them go for a week. Which really the Chartumim finally told Paray somewhere along the lines. Let them go to do their avoda. What are you doing here? You're letting the country go down the tubes. Let them go. Let them do it. What's Paray thinking? I understand if Paray thinks he's letting go of the whole nation for good. So he has a Yetzirah not to do that. It's a week. Let them go. What's the problem? So I think, you know, in the past we simplified it. I remember Michal was here when we spoke about the whole idea of that they didn't realize Hashem was sending them out. You remember that, right? It's a simple pshat. We simplified it. We said that I want to go to the next level. The simple way to learn is that the Yidden have to realize Hashem is sending them out of Mitzrayim, not Paray. If you think your Yeshua is coming from Paray, you're in bad shape. So that's why the parasha starts by, He b'shalach Paray yisrael. The tzara was that we thought that Paray is sending us out. It's not Paray. Paray is a puppet. Paray doesn't have any koyach. It was Hashem sending us out. But as we know, the Gemara says in Kiddushin that if a husband gives his wife a get, then he's the one that's sending her away. Whereas if the husband dies, the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Beis, min Shemayim udikom haknila. If the husband dies, then Shemayim is sending her away. So that could be on a superficial level. That's how we could explain it. That's how I have explained it. That originally they left, they thought in their minds, Paray is sending them out. That's no good. After Kriyas Yamsuf, where the Mitzrayim died, then it was Hashem sending them out. And that's why now the Yitzhiyah was completed. Vayah Yisrael's Mitzrayim Mesal Svasayam. Now that it was Misa, so now Vayah Yisrael Sayyot Agdela Shoros Hashem. Now they were able to channel it to HaKadosh Baruch. So that's an approach. I want to go to the next level now to understand, on a deeper level, what was the difference between what they had before and what they had now. So right away, I'll tell you like this. Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky Zatzal, he held that when Moshe went in to ask for a three-day trip, that's really what it was. It was a three-day. Because the fact is that the Yidden weren't roy to go out yet. Hashem told Moshe he could take them out for a week. We were not worthy to be redeemed. And because we weren't worthy to be redeemed at this point yet, so we were not entitled to cheres. So what Hashem told Moshe was take us out for a week. First of all, you could also understand why Moshe didn't want to do it. The whole conversation becomes clear. Hashem tells Moshe take the Yidden out. Moshe says, so Rashi says, are they roy to be redeemed? You ever heard of such a kasha? The Eibishter is telling you. The Eibishter is telling you. If the Eibishter comes to you, somebody has a machla, and Hashem comes and says, I'm going to cure you. The person says, well, it's not curable. Sugar. The Eibishter. I always have a hanoa from that choyle that the chaznish gave him a broche, that the doctors told me he had a couple of days to live. He had a couple of days to live. And the Chaznish gave him a bracha, I'll have a fush lima. I knew this Yid, who it happened to. And so the Yid asked the Chaznish, he said, but Chaznish, the doctors say I only have a couple of days. So Chaznish took out a bracious. Bracious, Bali, Kimazan, Shemaim, Mesachot. Next. Vayas, Alikim, Esarakia. Everything. Next day, oceans. He says, pretty impressive. In 6 days, this is not what we're used to in contracting. In contracting, in 6 days, the guy didn't even he didn't even start looking at the house. He called the lumber yard, maybe. In 6 days, the Eibishter put everything you see, 6 days. And the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, it didn't have to take, so it could have been one Maimar Echad. So Chaznish said, as the Eibishter alts geton in sechs tag, everything in the world is 6 days, and what's not in this world, all the planets and all this, so you're a fool, he could also take care of it in a couple of days. Kachavit, the guy got was cured, I'm just saying it. From the most remote things, people don't realize, Ofuah, the Rambam says that there'll be a time where they will realize that little illnesses that people have were created to get rid of the biggest diseases. As I state in Rambam, I just read yesterday that pancreatic cancer, which is the most devastating cancer, 4%. Yeah. 4 to 5% survive more than a couple of years in pancreatic cancer. Nebuch. So they just now, they're doing a test. And so far it's been, came out 100%. What is it? The refuah, I don't know if you've seen this, Dr. Naaman, they're doing this study. The refuah is a cold. They inject the patient with a cold vaccine, and they get colds, Doc. The ones that they give it to, they sneeze a little bit, they get a little, and it's destroying the cells that are metastasizing in pancreatic cancer. And they have now, they're doing a study, I think it's in Texas, I don't know whoever they're doing it. Mom's just read it. And so far, 9 out of 10 people that they did it to, it's cleaning out the cancer. But it's a bug that they're putting into the person. They're putting in a bug. So David does a sachetzis.
I was in front of a time from when you told him that he had illness.
No refuah.
No refuah. He was experimental chemo. And Kaminsky said there's some people that live.
You know who got that bracha? The same bracha from the Chofetz Chaim. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, the father-in-law of Baal Kotler, Zatzal. When he was a bacha, he had a liver disease. He had a liver disease. And the doctors said that he can't really, he can't have children, he can't live. And he did a shidduch. His wife, Rabbi Zalman's wife, the family, when they found out the details of the liver disease, they were afraid to go right. They went to the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim said, some people the Eibishter gives gesund, same vote. Sometimes the Eibishter gives chaim, long life. He said, Issa Zalman is going to live a long life. He was a zokin muflik. He had a very full life. And he was a father-in-law of Baran. So how much terror came from there. So Baran Shver. But Lamaisa, there's, by the Eibishter, the Eibishter knew Klai Yisrael now are not roy for Yitzir. And Moshe Rabbeinu felt, if they're going out for a week, why should I take them out? He didn't have a cheshek even. Take them for a week. So the Eibishter told Moshe that they can develop in that week and they could become roy for everlasting freedom. It's not just a week. We're asking for a week. But the week can develop. Tavdunus alikim al orazeh. To change. And that's taka what happened. When we taka left Mitzrayim, we weren't roy. And we taka weren't roy to have biza either. And that's why the biza was borrowed. And after the yam, then we were worthy for the gula. And then the yam materialized. And became what it became. Became an ultimate gula. And that was the biza, and that was everything else. But what changed? So this is the one nekuda I want to tell you. The nekuda I want to tell you is like this. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ezi Avo, there's two kinds of Avo, there's two kinds of love. There's the Avo Shekli Bedo, And there's an avish and a tliya bedala. I was telling the boys in yeshiva, we're learning Tanakh, the whole story with Amnon, the son of David. He wanted his sister Tamar. And the Mishnah in Ovis gives that as an example of Ava Shetluya Bedavar. And the Mishnah says that if you love somebody for a reason, that's no good. Then that's like this boy like this girl. If the reason goes away, the Ava goes away. But Ava Sheina Kluya Bedavar, that Ava stays. He says, what's an Ava Sheina Kluya Bedavar? That's David and Yonas. From all history, from the entire history that the Mishnah could take an example, it says, what's an Ava She'ena Kliya Bedavo? Ava's David V'yenis. So I want to ask you a shayla. And this I ask the boys, this shayla. What does the Mishnah mean when it says Ava She'ena Kliya Bedavo? Does it make sense? Ava She'ena Kliya Bedavo? Is there such a thing? You love somebody for no reason? Is there such a thing? I told the boys, I gave them a chasen shiur, even though they're still in high school. I said, if somebody would go to their wife and tell their wife, you know, I love you very much, but I can't figure out a reason why. If you ask me to come for a reason why I love you, you're a nice person. Yeah, not really. Attractive. Yeah, very average. Personality, schwach. So why do you talk? Why do I love you? There's no reason. For no reason. I have no reason to love you. Right? I think you'll spend the night outside. Even in this weather. Yeah, but why can't you tell your wife? Listen, that's the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Ava she'ena tluya bedavo. And Ava that's not telling you anything. Right? Ain't it clear but double? Is there any Ava that's not clear but double? If it's Ava that's not clear but double, it's not even Ava. It should always be totally but double, l'chair. What?
A father to a child. It's a teva.
What's teva mean?
It's where Hashem made it, but there doesn't have to be a reason. The father always loves.
That's why I love him. Because he's biologically an extension of me. That's also a reason. David and Yonason. Zicha wasn't biological. But still, the Mishnah says that, and from all history, the Ava that the Mishnah Chab says, the optimum Ava is David. So I want to tell you Pasha Pshat. I think it's Pasha Pshat. I told the boys like this. I have a food that I like very much. This I got from my father. My father, I think, also loves it very much. Chocolate cream pie. That's one of my favorite foods. Chocolate cream pie. I told the boys, Mamish, from all the foods, the chocolate cream pie by me is there. Okay. I said, let's look deep into it. Do I love chocolate cream pie? The answer was, I'd rather not. I don't love chocolate cream pie. If the chocolate cream pie would go bad, and it would spoil, would I make a burial outside? And give a eulogy? I lost my chocolate cream pie, Rahman al-Islam. It was such a special cake. With sugar. The chocolate cream pie go right in the garbage pail. Which is exactly what the Mishnah says. Batla ava, batla dava, batla ava. Bishat is, I don't like chocolate cream pie. I love myself. And I like the way I feel when I get some chocolate cream pie. I like that feel. I like when it goes down my throat. It's a good feeling. I like the way it looks. I like to taste it. So whose Ava is that? It's not totally in the Dover, really. But it is totally in the Dover. It's totally in what that Dover does for me. That's what totally the Dover means. An Ava that's not because a selfless Ava. It's a selfish Ava. And a selfish Ava, once the incentive that you have for yourself is not there, it's not worth anything to you. Once it doesn't have a tachlis anymore, it's finished. So that's what the Mishnah says, Amnon and Tamar. once he didn't have the physical whatever he wanted from her, he hated her. Because the Ava that Amnon had to Tamar wasn't he loved her, he loved himself. And if whatever way he could get from her what he wants, oh, gewaltig. David HaMelech was the opposite. David and Yonason. Yonason had every reason in the world to hate David. David was his competitor. David was the one who stands in the place of him becoming king. He should hate David with his entire being. Naturally. But there was something about David that he loved Al David, not Al Yonason. He didn't love David for what David can give Yonason. He didn't love David for what David could give Yonason. That's not what he loved about David. What he loved about David was who David was. Not what I get from David. What I can benefit from David. That kind of Ava stays. That type of Ava remains. When Klal Yisrael become Avdei Hashem, in order to become an Eved Hashem, it has to be that you're there for the Rabbanu Shalom. That you want to see what you could do for the Rabbanu Shalom. Not what the Rabbanu Shalom could do for you. That's not Avos Hashem. Avos Hashem is not, I love Hashem because what Hashem can do for me. That's not Avos Hashem. That's Ava Kli Bedovo. The real Ava is that kind of Ava. The Ava that David had, that Yonason had for David. As David HaMelech himself said, the flesh Avos Choli, the love that you had for me is a Pella, because he should have hated him. Yonason should have hated David. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, till now, our whole connection to Rabbanu Shalom was what Rabbanu Shalom was doing for us. We won Mem Teshare Tumah. We were all the way down. And we went through now Makkah after Makkah after Makkah, what Hashem did for the Mitzrayim. What we benefited from Hashem. We were the recipients now. So our kesher to the Rabbanu Shalom wasn't what could we do for Rabbanu Shalom. It was what the Rabbanu Shalom is doing for us. That's our shaychus. Our shaychus to the Rabbanu Shalom was Vayhi Bishach Par Yisrael. Whatever Hashem is doing for us, that's our shaychus. By the Yam, Hashem told the Rabbanu Shalom to be Moisei Nefesh for him. Dabro b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael. Go into the Yam. You be Moisei Nefesh for me. The whole Kriyas Yam Suf went with a different mahalach. You do for the Rabbanu Shalom. That's a whole new level. When Klal Yisrael were prepared to make the relationship with Hashem not a selfish relationship, but just the opposite, a selfless relationship, then we became Avdei Hashem. That's an Eved Hashem. Then we would talk on the level of having Yitzis Mitzrayim. Then we were on a level of having Biza. And I'll explain to you why. All the Biza that we have to get has to be used to give back to Rabbanu Shalom. But for that, you have to be an Eved. Kol ma shekono Eved kono Rabbi. If the Biza would be for us, then there's no purpose for it. So we have to reach the level that we're ready to give back to the Rabbanu Shalom in order for us to be ready to get Biza. And we did. And that explains why Chazal say the highest level of Kriyas Yam Suf was Zeh Keli V'Anveyu. What's Zeh Keli V'Anveyu? Open up a Masechet Shabbos, Tav Kuf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara says Zeh Keli V'Anveyu teaches you Hidur Mitzvah. What's Hidur Mitzvah? Let's analyze what's Hidur Mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah is when a person says, okay, this is what I have to do. But what could I do for the Rabbanu Shalom? Besides for what I have to do, what will I do for the Rabbanu Shalom? That's already the next level. That's where you see the Rabbanu Shalom, not yourself. And that was the level of Kriyas Yam Suf. Zeh Keli V'Anveyu. I want to do for him. Not I want to do for me. I want to see what the Rabbanu Shalom could do for me. That's the first thing. Mashiach Hashem ki goy go, Sus v'reich v'ram avayam. That's all the old level that we already had in Mitzrayim. But now, Zekei Livan Veil. And on that Pasuk Chazal say we reach this whole new level. Okay, let's stop it.
That's the ultimate...